Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
One of the most difficult things in many marriages is just communication. We tend to communicate differently than the person we marry, and we think they ought to communicate the way we do. And that's not how it works. We have to learn how to understand the person we're communicating with, not just focus on being understood.
In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter says, and this is God speaking, "Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornments, such as braided hair and wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives." ESV rightly translates, "Live with your wives in an understanding way, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word. We're going to talk this morning about being understood. We all want to be understood. But if you want to be understood, start by trying to understand the other person. Because the better you understand them, the more likely it is that you'll be able to communicate in an effective way that will help them understand you. When couples come to me for counseling, it usually becomes quickly apparent that they want help fixing the other person, okay? Because the other person is the problem. I mean, I know I'm not perfect, but basically this is the one who's driving me nuts. And what I need you to do, Pastor, is to help me understand what I have to do in order to get them to do what I want them to do. Seems perfectly reasonable. And so I have to try and disabuse them of that notion and help them understand, if you come to me, I'm going to talk with you about what you need to do in order to grow as an individual and hopefully become a person who's more like Christ. Well, no, but I wanted you to tell me what to do to get my husband. Well, this says, if your husband isn't even a Christian, ladies, okay, if they don't even know the Lord, in which case they are spiritually dead. Have you ever tried to improve the behavior of a corpse? I've been around bodies of dead people. And I don't mean just spiritually dead. I mean people who are physically dead. I've never asked any of those folks to do anything. Okay? Because, I mean, they're really incapable. A person who doesn't know Christ, according to Scripture, does not see or understand the things of the Spirit. You've got to have God's Spirit living in you in order for you to be able to perceive the kingdom of God, Jesus says in John 3. Unless you're born again, you can't even perceive the kingdom. So this talks about the most extreme case of a spouse who you're not going to be able to fix. But that doesn't mean you can't do anything in order to improve the situation. Be submissive to your husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word of God, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. It doesn't guarantee they're going to get saved. But their best chance of getting saved, their greatest likelihood of being saved, is if they see something so amazing in you that it makes them want what you have. A friend of mine, a friend of ours in New England, had a very happy life, grew up, married his childhood sweetheart, and as he tells the story, he came home one day and found out that she was in love with another man. They had three kids, nice house, he was in a very successful career, and she's in love with another man. And he was devastated. And she said she loved him. She said, you know, she still wanted to be married to him, but she wasn't willing to give up this other man. And he thought, you know, I mean, maybe she'll get over it. It became clear she's not going to get over it. And so he decided before divorcing her, he would at least try and understand what was going on. And he said, the more I learned about this man, the more I began to see why she was attracted to him and grudgingly came to respect the other guy. And eventually, he said, I fell in love with him myself. His name is Jesus. Oh, what a clever way to share your testimony. Okay. That's literally what happened, all right? See, she had fallen in love with Jesus. And as her life is changing, he's just absolutely mystified. It's like, I cannot share your affections with another man. I don't care who he is. I don't care what he did. But she wasn't willing to give up Jesus. And it almost brought them, well, it brought them to the brink of divorce. The guy was a lawyer. But then he fell in love with Jesus too. And his life was changed. And they're two of the sweetest, loveliest, most radiant Christians you could ever know. So Peter is telling wives who love Jesus, but whose spouse is spiritually dead, you're still supposed to treat him the way that a Christian wife's supposed to treat the husband. But he's not, just do what God says. Just do what God says and leave it with God. Well, what if my husband, professing Christian or not, is not a good leader? Be submissive. Well, what if that means we're going to be led into bad financial decisions or any number of other things? Be submissive and pray. No one has the authority to require you to do something that God forbids, or to forbid your doing something that God commands. Okay? So when we're talking about submission here, we're not talking about something where you have to, you know, if he says I'm supposed to steal, I've got to steal. If he says I'm supposed to lie, I've got to lie. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about he wants curtains that are capri. Dumb, looks stupid. I don't want people to think I'm a bad decorator. Don't worry about it. You know, I mean, life is short. If when you die they think you are a bad decorator, it's not the end of the world. Just trust God and do what he says.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Husbands, you are supposed to live with your wife in an understanding way. We're supposed to learn to understand one another. And this applies even outside the marriage relationship. If you want to learn how to communicate with somebody, learn all you can about them. Learn about differences between male and female. Learn about personality types. Dr. Robert Rome does a nice job explaining one of the ways of analyzing personalities. Talks about the DISC. Thank you, darling. The DISC is just one of the many ways of analyzing personalities, and I'll let you all participate right now in understanding where you fit on the DISC. Okay? D-I-S-C. Now, if you are basically an extrovert, you're either a D or an I. If you are basically an introvert, you are either an S or a C. D-I-S-C. You can just do a little quadrant, put a plus sign, and put them around. And one of the loveliest illustrations, which he gives, to illustrate this personality is when you're teaching a class, all right? And you've got these four personality types in the room, because you usually do if you've got a group. And you say, as a teacher, you say, who discovered America? And the D doesn't raise their hand. They don't hesitate. The D says, Columbus. Okay? Because that was what the textbook said. But they just, boom. They're ready to move on to the next thing. Okay? The I goes, because the I wants to be called on. Okay? They'd like a chance to speak. And so you say, okay, David. And David says, I'm sorry, what was the question? See, he just heard that there was a question. It was an opportunity. There's a chance for me to perform. Here I am. Okay? So those are the two extroverts. The S is sitting there. They may have raised their hand, but they did it kind of timidly, because they're not really eager to share, but they do want the teacher to know they're paying attention, and they did the assignment. And so the teacher says, Susie, I'll call on you. Who discovered America? Well, Susie, again, doesn't want to seem like a know-it-all, but she does want the teacher to know. She read the chapter. And so she says, well, if I understood the material correctly, I believe that it was Columbus. Okay? Well, that's very good, Susie. Okay. Charles, would you agree? Charles is the C. And Charles says, well, I think that's really a poor question, because there were people already here when Columbus arrived, and he didn't know where he was. So I don't know why you're saying he discovered America. I think your question is ill-informed. Now, we need all four of those personality types. Only 10% of the population is D, okay? Only 10%. Thank God. Otherwise, everyone would constantly be at war, okay? The D is absolutely determined that there needs to be leadership, decisiveness. They are dogmatic. They are domineering. They are ready to roll. My wife is a D. Now, they have many wonderful qualities. They make great leaders. They quickly assess the situation. They see what needs to be done, and they start putting together who needs to do what. Okay? They'll give direction. And they're good at that. They're wired for that. It's wonderful. Unless you're a woman who's a Christian, who's married to an S. Oh, you can't. That's not you. Jim, you're saying you're an S? Yes. Well, how come you're always up front speaking? Because someone has told me this is what I need to do. Your wife? No. She affirms me. She encourages me. But I've always been asked to speak. I am perfectly fine speaking if it's an assigned role. But I'm not going to speak up unless I'm asked. Now, sometimes it's God who asks, because somebody is saying or doing something that needs to be answered. And God will say, speak the truth. But I'm telling you, an S, the D is like a lion. The S is like a golden retriever. Okay, golden retrievers are not good watchdogs. You know, I just want to be sure you're comfortable. I just want to be sure everything's fine. Okay, I'm glad you're here. It's wonderful. You know, have I met you before? It doesn't matter. I love you anyway. So you've got the D, the lion. You've got the S, that's the golden retriever. They're opposites, and opposites tend to attract. When Dr. Rome tested my wife and me, I'm not pure S. I'm just more S than I am other things. My wife, he said, I've done thousands of these tests with people. He said, she's the only person I have ever tested who was 100% D. Okay? Most people are like a DI or a DC or, you know, some other combination. He said, your wife is 100% D. Okay? God bless you, my dear. Let me tell you, she's marvelous. I mean, she's the perfect helpmeet for me. But my wife, having to submit, has to die to self every day. And I need to understand that about her and understand that as a D, if somebody asks her a question, she takes it as a challenge. Okay? If she says something and you follow up with a question, she feels you're arguing with her. I mean, that's just how she processes interactions. Now, if I think she's just being a jerk, I'm being a jerk. Because I need to understand that's the way she's wired. Me, on the other hand, I'm much more easygoing. Our son, Clayton, who has taken the reins of Ware's Valley Ranch now, thank God, Clayton is an ID. He's got some lion in him, but he's mostly otter. You know what otters like to do? They like to have fun. They don't say, where's the party? They are the party. Okay? Wherever they go, it's a party. And he's always been that way. He's always having a good time. Now, the C makes a great accountant, researcher, etc., because they're looking at every situation and asking more questions. Okay? And they are very precise. And we need people like that. Now, why am I telling you that? Well, this is not the thrust of the message. It's an example of how if you understand that the person you're married to is inevitably different from you, not only because of gender differences, but because of personality differences, you're not going to wonder, why don't they get me? Why don't they understand? You begin to understand why they don't understand. Because they process everything differently than you do. Okay? And we need to understand that about each other. If we begin to understand each other, we have a better chance of being understood. Because we know how to present in a way that will be meaningful and more likely to be received. So counseling is not about finding out how to fix the other person. But you need to also understand that the fact someone understands me does not mean that they have to agree with me. Years ago, I was in a situation with a lovely Christian couple, and the wife wanted something, and she explained what she wanted, and she explained why she wanted it. And we said, no, that's not going to happen. And her response to that was, and I quote, but you don't understand. And then she rehearsed it again. This is what she wanted. This is why she wanted it. And let me give you some more information as to why. And I said, okay, so what you're saying is, da-da-da-da-da-da. Yes! And I said, okay, I understand. But that's not going to happen. But you don't understand. Well, after about her fourth or fifth, you don't understand, I began to realize she didn't understand. Because she thought, if you understand me, then I get my way. Life isn't like that. Marriage isn't like that. Just because you're understood doesn't mean that you get your way. But if your goal is to be understood, great, we can work on that. If your goal is to have your own way, repent. Whether you're the man or the woman, you're not God. And we don't get to run the universe. Satan's temptation in the garden was, the reason God told you not to eat that fruit, he knows if you do, you'll be like him. No, he's a liar. God's in charge. He'll always be in charge. No matter how many people on the planet are in rebellion against God, God's throne is not in danger. Okay? We're all going to band together. Psalm 2. Okay? Why do the heathen rage? Why the nations plot together against the Lord, saying, let's throw off his chains. Come on, we're going to get free. It's not freedom, it's bondage. You're swapping obedience to God for slavery to the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But unfortunately, over and over again, we find that in our old sin nature, there's still a whole lot of that where we want to be in charge. So, the fact that someone understands what I'm saying does not mean that they have to agree with me. My brother's a Presbyterian pastor. He retired at age 70, and now after some time off, he's back as an interim pastor in Annapolis, Maryland, doing a great job. God's using him wonderfully. It's great. He is a great communicator. He's a great man. He's a great scholar. He's a Presbyterian. I'm a Baptist. We disagree about a few things, one of which is baptism. I was a Presbyterian until I learned the truth. And so the thing is this, I can explain infant baptism to Baptists so persuasively that they want to know why we're not Presbyterian. Okay? And so then I have to explain to them why we're not, because they're wrong and we're right, and here's how you know, okay? And then they're like, oh, okay, all right. Wow, had me going there. My brother can explain to Presbyterians why Baptists believe what we do so persuasively that they're like, well, let's go down to the river. You know, I mean, why? John Calvin said that the original form of baptism was by immersion. So, I mean, come on. Why are we doing this thing? Here's the thing. The fact that you understand someone else's position well enough to persuasively present it to others does not mean that you agree with them. So the fact that someone disagrees with you, like, oh, let's say your spouse, doesn't mean necessarily that they don't understand you.
That's all the time we have for today, but we hope that you're enjoying this message, and we hope that you'll tune in next time when, Lord willing, we'll bring you the conclusion. You don't want to miss it. Meanwhile, please pray for us and consider making a contribution that will allow us to continue to care for and minister to the children who come to the ranch from crisis family situations. For more information on this ministry, we'd love for you to call us at 866-41-ABIDE or visit our website, wvr.org. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood,
www.pastorwood.org.